now I'm on intro.
I was just thinking that.
That one's been running for so long.
Plus, that's Nuno.
That's Nuno. He loves it. I bet he loves it.
He does.
He's probably already turned us off in Miami.
He
didn't tell me he had a flight delay or something, and he didn't get in. He missed rehearsal dinner. Mm. Overrated anyway.
Well, wait, Dad, what do you got to rehearse how to eat? Put the food in front of me. I'll eat it. I can do that on the fly.
I will say that if you went into a wedding, no dry run ahead of time, like it's show and go. I ain't never seen the cheetah stretch. We're showing and going on the wedding. I would imagine that the bridal part of the wedding would have a problem with
The bridal part. Yeah, they're the ones that ruined the wedding.
Whoa.
Because, no, they do. They make it.
Stop.
Okay.
Stop.
Go ahead.
No. I'm getting married. Don't put this out there.
What I'm saying is what's supposed to be the happiest day of your life too often becomes this crazy stressful event because women are so worried that this person's going to come in just right on time. They're going to put the flower girl's going to have enough flowers to throw on the floor. The ring bearer's going to, you know, he's got to have his tux, got to be just right. And then, you know, just enjoy the day. Okay. We didn't even have a rehearsal for my wedding.
What you said and what I imagined you were going to say in my head.
Oh, it's completely different.
Completely different. That was okay.
Yeah,
I agree. That was been my whole thing with Ashley, my fiance, been I don't care about everybody else. This is our day. Let's do what we want.
Right. You know what, Urban? I spent, I think, less than $1,000 on our wedding.
I bet I could probably pull that off. But it's going to take me asking some favors, but I think people will do it because that's kind of their wedding gift.
Well, we wanted to go to Vegas and just do it that way, get an Elvis Presley guy. And her,
hold on. Imagine, to do what?
To marry you.
Oh.
Imagine
this. I thought you were going to sing karaoke.
Imagine this. Her very traditional Hispanic family objected. Okay. And so, but we found a place on South Padre Island because, you know, she's from down that way called Chapel by the Sea, and they charged us like $300.
That ain't bad.
No. And the thing took 15 minutes.
Hmm.
Which, how long does it take, right? You go, all I had to do is get the, yeah, I do, I will, I do. Okay.
You'd have to do it in Spanish?
No. I do, I will, I do, let's kiss, let's get out of here. You know, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Okay.
So it was, and you know what? It's not like we're any less married than people that spend $20,000 on
their
wedding.
You're right.
I just don't get it.
That's some old sage advice.
Yeah. Well, I'm old, as Kennedy pointed out to me earlier today.
Yeah, you're itchy too.
Kennedy Cavan with us this morning. If you're on TV, and by the way, that's
I can't
Ryan
believe
Brodinger,
this. Oh, are you doing the intro?
Well, since we've gotten this far,
it's the Go Hour presented by the Warehouse at CC Creations. Maroon U. Maroon U is your ultimate stop for brand name apparel, gifts, and accessories for the entire family. Maroon U. CC Creations at the Warehouse or the Warehouse at CC Creations. What road is that? Holloman and Wilmer.
Yeah, okay.
Now, right. Continue, because so this is the most bizarre thing. I've seen you do some weird stuff.
Really?
Not seen you do. I've heard you talk about some weird stuff that you've done.
Okay.
This, though, is the ultimate Olin Buchanan
move. I don't think so. So, if you're watching on TV, and if I'm holding up, well, you already know that. So, if you're not watching on TV, I'm holding up a back scratcher. And this back scratcher was put in my Christmas stocking along with four others from my wife.
Why did she give you five of them?
Because in case I lose one, I guess. But anyway, the point is that my back itches a lot, and I've gotten old, and I'm not as limber as I used to be. And I'm always asking her, I scratch my back. And so she gave me these back scratchers. And so with my back itches, I just reach back and scratch. It's not that big a deal. And the next thing I know, I'm being ridiculed for this. And this young 20-something comes over here and says, do you itch more than you used to? I said, yeah, I guess so. And she says, it must be your old man skin.
I'm sorry.
She did say that
Kennedy
this morning.
Gavin?
That Olin is not making that up. She walked right over here to the desk.
No. Okay.
She saw Olin scratching his back with, they look like bear claws. They're very nice back scratchers.
They're nice.
They extend.
Yeah.
So it's almost, you know, it's like a telescope with a back scratcher on the end of it.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. Olin's over here. I'm just kind of getting after it. We're having a conversation. Olin is scratching his back.
Yeah.
Kennedy walks over here, looks him dead in the eye, and she just says,
"Wrong.
Are you itching a lot because your old man skin's coming in?"
You're wrong. That is not how it happened.
Okay, enlighten us then.
I will enlighten you. So Olin has his two back scratchers out on the table. We start talking about it. And I walk over and I'm like, "Olin, why do you have two back scratchers?"
Because my back itches twice as much.
Yeah, and he said his back itches twice as much. And I go, "And don't get mad at me for saying this." And I said that. And I paused for a second. And I said, "Is your old man skin coming in?" Because somebody said that to me a couple days ago.
Who?
My father.
Okay.
Well, why did you have to say somebody? Why did you have to be so vague?
Well,
she didn't want to put
I didn't want to shout him out on
your dad. Yeah. Is your dad older than me?
No.
So if his old man skin's coming in, I might already.
Well, listen, she's
does that mean I'm like a snake and I've already molted my
we potentially my have an agent skin. Over here. Because remember, she told David, she asked me back there day in the production room. She's like, "How old's Nuno?" And I don't know exactly how old Nuno is, but I kind of guessed it.
45.
Yeah, but he keeps himself in good shape.
Good shape.
And when I told her, I was like, "I think he's 45, 46, something like that." I said, "He looks good, though." She goes, "Oh, one foot in the grave already. We're going to have to get another radio host soon."
Oh, my goodness. She'd be dumping sand or dumping dirt on me.
That's fake news. Bronny's a liar. Breaking news.
All right, we need to get this show back on.
Tex-Ags Radio. We're presented by David Gardner's Jewelers. We're inside the Rollo Insurance Studios. If you haven't figured it out, that's Olin Buchanan. I'm Ryan Broninger in the Social Center. Kennedy Cavan from Caldwell, Texas. Always tell everybody. Burleson County's finest. Sort of. Behind the glass, in the fishbowl, Nick Savage helping us out, pulling the strings today. Nick, good morning.
Howdy, good morning, y'all.
Do you have any back scratchers?
I don't, but I kind of want to use the one OB has. It looks pretty gnarly.
Well, you're going to have to disinfect it.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't know.
What is this disinfectant thing?
Well, I mean, it's got your dead skin on it. It's a bear claw.
It's got really your old man skin.
You don't want to age Nick quicker than you have to.
I'm already getting gray hair, believe it or not.
So. It's not contagious.
Oh, man. Well, we got some stuff to get.
Do women's backs itch as they get older?
You're about to drag us somewhere where I don't think we need to go. I mean, I'm trying to pull us out.
Okay.
You're like the devil. You're reaching out and grabbing people and pulling back down there.
We're talking about old men's skin. I just want to be equal opportunity here.
What's the old phrase say? It's if you don't ever walk into the devil, it probably means you're walking the same direction.
I've never heard that. I'm not that old.
Anyway, so we're going to talk a lot. We've got a full show. We're going to do a lot of different things. We're going to talk football. I got some questions for OB. We're going to look ahead to Vanderbilt on Saturday night at Reed Arena. We got to do three things we want to see. I've got some random topics to get to that just happened that I pulled off of Twitter and pulled off the site. So we're going to hit on a lot of stuff. Mark French coming in to talk Aggie basketball. We got to go around Aggieland at 9:50. We'll bank on it at the end of this hour with OB. And then to close the show a little bit later at 10:30, Aaron Torres, great friend of the show, will come in to talk some Aggie hoops as we look ahead to the weekend. But Olin, something kind of popped up yesterday afternoon. And if you're an Aggie and if you're listening to this show, first of all, thank you for tuning in. We appreciate your listenership, however you got us tuned in. But if you're listening to the show, you probably are an Aggie. And in the Aggie world, this kind of made the rounds pretty quick yesterday. Apparently, in a class Thursday afternoon, Reveille barked. Now, the old tradition is if Reveille barks in class is dismissed. Based off everything we've been able to gather, it's a political science class.
Yeah.
And the professor, Reveille barked in the class, and the professor's response to Reveille barking was to say, if the dog barks again, she will be removed from the class. Now, I don't know where you fall on this. Here's what I think. I think if Reveille hasn't barked in the class, Reveille doesn't make a habit of barking in classes, clearly, because if she did and everybody stood by the tradition and let class out anytime Reveille barked and she was doing it a lot, there would be a problem, right? It seems like she doesn't bark a lot. because every time Reveille barks, I feel like we see it on social media, Reveille barked in econ, class was dismissed. This professor's response, there's a thousand different ways you could have handled it. I think calling the handler and the dog out and saying they will be removed was the wrong way to do it. Now, we're just reading this stuff.
This happened.
If it happened that way, how I just described it is how it went down, then I think he's completely in the wrong, and I think something should be done. I'm not saying the guy should ever lose his job. I'm not saying anything like that.
I think they should go to the top, and I think John Sharp should be in the office of this professor, John R. Bond. I don't know what the R stands for. It doesn't stand for Reveille. It may stand for run your ass out of town.
Look,
there are certain traditions here that are going to withstand with champagne, Urbana, whatever. Urbana, I've been there, and I don't like it. It's a dump. But if you come in here and start, just dismissing the traditions of Texas A&M, I think you need to be educated. And I would think the boss would come down and say, look, I don't care how you do things in Illinois. I don't care what you think of the traditions. This is how we do things here. Let's just get something straight. You're going to go before the dog goes. So the dog stays. That's the way I look at it.
That's some real Texas OB right there.
That's the Olin Buchanan idea how this should work out. The dog you go before the dog goes.
I agree to some extent with what you said. I think he was over the line in how he handled it. I don't know that he needs to go all the way to John Sharp. But he should be reprimanded for it.
When the people in charge at A&M wanted to throw some Texas students in jail and throw away the key for dog napping Reveille. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a big deal because that's how beloved, and the dog was returned unscathed, but that's how beloved this dog. I mean, A&M sells stuffed Reveille, you know? I mean, Reveille is not just a mascot, but an institution within of herself.
She's the queen.
That has to be respected by everybody, including some carpet-bagging Yankee Paul Tsai professor.
Well, I thought you were coming down off of it. And then
that's
you went
just
right
the
back
Olin
in.
Buchanan version.
Well, and look, what I would have said is if you didn't want to release the class, if you didn't want to uphold the tradition as it reads, as it stands, because maybe there was something really important you needed to get to, you address and say, hey, look, can we just get through the next 5 minutes and I'll cut the rest of class short? Or if it's a continued problem where she keeps barking, you let them out and she barks again the next time, maybe you let them out again and then you have a talk with her handler like, look, we got stuff we got to get to. We really can't have her doing this. Is there any way we can go about making sure that we get our full allotted time for class? But to respond in that way, I thought was over the line.
I would have hoped that any other professor would – find some humor in the situation. Say, Miss Rev, I know we're supposed to go, but Miss Rev, do you mind if we continue? And she didn't say anything, so I guess that's okay, right?
Something like, yeah.
I mean, but don't look, once again,
don't threaten to have her removed.
There are traditions here that maybe don't make sense. Well, you know what? A lot of traditions here don't make sense to other people, and they at other universities, and it invites ridicule and scorn, but Aggies don't care, right?
That's why you love it.
That's why they say, if you're from, what is the
outside looking in,
you don't get it right out, right?
Yeah.
So this guy clearly doesn't get it. And again, he's from Illinois, but you're here now. So adhere to the respect for the mascot and what she means.
Again, we're making the assumption that the
things happen as it seems. This is all based on
what we've read on the internet, and we know that can be false.
This is all based on if that is an accurate portrayal of what happened.
On the other side of the break, we'll get into some Aggie sports talk. 979-693-1150. If you want to interact with the show, we highly encourage you to interact with the show. We're going to get to a lot of text today, hopefully. We've got some empty segments. I say empty segments. OB, by the way, can you stay till 9:30?
Yeah.
Okay, so OB will stay till 9:30, and we'll get into some other guests. We've got, like I said, Bank on it. We got Around Aggieland, but we want you to interact with the show. Maybe you have a really impassioned opinion about the Rebels. If they
brought Reveille by and she barked, would we end the show? We'd probably just put a microphone on her.
I mean, how cool would it? I would just be stoked that Reveille is
me too.
In the studio. Yeah. And all that
we
kind
need
of
to
stuff.
Invite Reveille to come on and give her side of the story.
And entice her with some treats, maybe.
How was it when that happened? How'd you feel? You know, rough. Oh, it was rough. It was a rough day. Okay.
We get to go to break. OB is on one this morning. Tech Stacks Radio presented by David Garler's Jewelers. There's a lot more to get to on the other side of the break.
Long, cool woman with a black dress.
Yeah.
By the Hollies.
Hollies, yep. Saturday night, I was downtown.
Yeah. I would have liked for us to come back with something like, I don't know. Is there something about a dog? Some dog song?
We got to move on, man. You are awesome. That was a great first segment.
Oh, it was fun.
Pat you on the back. I won't scratch you on the back.
I don't need you to. I got my back scratched.
Well, I ain't Irma, so I ain't doing any of that stuff that she does for you.
Yeah, she'll scratch my back for me.
Well, that's what she married you.
Yeah.
I still can't believe
she
did that.
Just to scratch my back.
Yep. All right, well, let's get to some Aggie sports here. Aggie basketball tomorrow, big game now, coming off the heels of that 16-point win at Auburn. And 7:30 tomorrow night at Reed Arena, everybody's encouraged to wear pink. Breast cancer awareness game there at Reed Arena. The social media, A&M social media accounts have been on fire with Pac Reed, Rock Reed, all that kind of stuff. I'm looking forward to the atmosphere inside Reed Arena tomorrow night. And Olin, you look at Vanderbilt, 10-10 overall, 3-4 in conference play. They do have a win over Wofford. It was a close win, but they do have a win over Wofford.
I think LSU did too.
2-4 in their last six. They shoot at a 42% clip, and they're 33% from three. They got a guy, and I was looking at their numbers. Do you have their stat line pulled up right there?
I have some of them.
Okay. Do you see the guy? So in terms of them shooting threes.
Uh-huh, Miles Stute.
Miles Stute has shot 113. I think the next closest guy is at 80. So that's 33 behind him, and he shoots – at about 43%. So
43
good shooter there.
Yep.
When I looked at, and it's Jerry Stackhouse is coaching at Vanderbilt, for those of you that aren't familiar with kind of how the Commodores programs run, Jerry Stackhouse, legendary college basketball player, longtime NBA player, running the show there in Nashville. But it's weird. They're so inconsistent that if A&M does not come out and play, if they have a letdown game after mm-hmm. the emotional win over Auburn, this is going to be a 40-minute basketball game if they come out flat.
Well, I think that
Vandy's good enough to hang around.
Yeah, without a doubt. Did not just recently Vandy have a really close game with somebody good? Let me see. I'm going to look at their schedule.
Well, Kentucky right came in and beat them. Like I said, 2-4 in their last six.
They beat Georgia 85-82.
It was in overtime, I believe. Is that correct?
I don't know. They beat Arkansas. They beat Arkansas 97-84. I think that's the game I was thinking about. They actually stayed within 12 to Alabama. So while they're not winning a lot of games, they did beat South Carolina.
How have they been on the road? Do you have that right there?
Well, they won at Georgia. They lost at Tennessee by 9. They lost by 3 at Missouri. So in SEC play,
They won at Georgia.
They won at Georgia, 85-82. They lost at Tennessee, 77-63. They lost at Missouri, 85-82.
And they have an overtime win over a putrid South Carolina team.
Yeah, they won that one 84-79 at home.
So you see, just looking at their schedule without even diving into the numbers, it's really up and down. They're playing good teams competitively. They're playing bad teams competitively. Whether they're coming out with wins or losses is a different story, but it's kind of up and down, which is why you're 10-10. And again, I think the biggest factor in tomorrow night's game is the maturity of the A&M roster. We saw a bunch of it on display the other night in Auburn when you go down 10-2 and then you're able to rally and pull yourself out. And then how you manage the game in the second half, I thought showed immense maturity. The maturity is going to be tested in a much different level on Saturday night.
In a different way.
Yes.
Can you, after back-to-back emotional road games, come back 2-3 days later and play with the same intensity with a against a team that doesn't have the same reputation as your previous two opponents. Now, as you've alluded to, or maybe Kennedy alluded to, they're anticipating a big crowd, maybe a boisterous, energetic crowd, and maybe that's going to be a factor in ensuring that A&M, you know, does. Is it just equally as intense for Vanderbilt as they would be for Kentucky?
I think the intensity level I'm not worried about, because I think Buzz's teams, for the most part, play with a really high energy.
I agree with that, but there is a human nature element,
sure,
too.
Sure, you're absolutely right. But what I'm looking at is, with a big crowd, can you play with a steady heartbeat that you did on the road at Auburn?
Well, I think,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Can you be calm and execute your game plan at a really high level? I think the focus is really important, because I think they're going to play with a lot of energy, because there's going to be a lot of energy in the building. I wonder – I'm not wondering. I'm interested to see is a way to say it.
Well, I would say that I think A&M kind of did that when they played Florida. There was I think the crowd is going to be even bigger and more boisterous, but it was a really good crowd. What was there at Florida, about 11,000?
Ooh.
I think.
Mick, can you look that up? 12? I think it was over 10.
Yeah, it might
for
have been
12.
Sure. Yeah. And it was a good
crowd. The students did a great
job. A lot of students, and they played, you know, played really well, great defense in the first half, made key plays in the second half, especially down the stretch. So, I would think that they've shown they're mature enough to, you know, to handle it in that environment, even when the crowd is behind them.
Go ahead. I want to look at this graphic that Nick has popped up here.
Before you get to that, attendance for the Florida game was 12,126. So pretty full.
Yeah, and it was for real.
Right.
Not like some of the times they say, oh, there were 6,000 people there, and you're like,
No, I was in there. It was
some people brought a mirror and set it next to them.
There was a lot of there were a lot of student overflow.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was really, really, really good. So Nick has a graphic made, really informative, right? And we're looking at A&M's NCAA tournament resume. If you're watching on TV, you can see it. If you're listening to us, a net rank of 43. And then it goes down through their quad wins. And you want to have as many quad one and quad two wins as you can. Right now, A&M's got 4 quad one and quad two wins and 4 losses. They're 4-4 against quad one, quad two, and they are 10-2 against quad three and quad four. Those bottom two numbers really don't do much for your tournament resume unless you got a bunch of losses against those. But they've got to find a way, I think, through, and they can because of what the back half of the SEC schedule looks like, OB.
Mm-hmm.
But those quad one, quad two numbers, probably they got to tick up a little bit. They have to.
I think you're going to see more quad two games, you know, but A&M is all A&M has to do to make the tournament from here on out is just be who they are now.
Well, I thought Billy brought up a great point yesterday whenever I had him on, and we've talked so much about the final conference record. What do they need to get to be comfortably in the NCAA tournament? Is it 13-5? Is it 12-6? Whatever the number is, and he goes, you forget that last year they were 9-9 in the conference and they almost got in. Now a lot of that had to do with what they did in the tournament, right?
But last year they were like 15-2 coming into conference play last year, something like that. They had a win over Notre Dame, they had some other pretty decent wins. This year they don't have any really good non-conference wins, maybe Loyola, maybe DePaul. But you didn't have that Wofford stain on your resume last year like you do this year.
Yeah, I think there's opportunities in the upcoming schedule for you to very much erase any kind of lingering effect, the Wofford loss.
Oh, I think like that's erased.
Do you really?
Yeah, I think, but so you got a clean slate now. So moving forward is now you get in what you do moving forward.
Man, you'd like to have – obviously, you'd like to have Wofford back, but even Memphis, you were in a great position.
You had the lead with 3 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And that would have been a huge win for you. So, but I would think coming back and beating Auburn on the road and beating Missouri, which was in the top 20 at that time, that, okay, I can forgive Wofford now. You've got it going. But to me, I mean, I'm not on the committee, so it doesn't really matter, but it seems like what A&M has done now will erase what they did in non-conference, right? You've made up for that now, but it's not enough to get you in.
Yeah. All right, we got three things we want to see in the upcoming weekend, the upcoming weeks. Do you have something for us, Kennedy?
No, I was just...
You pointed at Kennedy. I thought she had something. I thought she was raising her hand to be called on.
I don't have anything.
You have a lot of texts, though, right?
There are a lot of texts.
I didn't know if we wanted to get to her.
We are. We're going to get to her on the other side of the break. We got three things we want to see. We got to do bank on it at the end of the hour. OB's going to be with us until 9:30, and we do have some football topics that I do want to get your opinion on. A lot more to come with OB. I'm Ryan Broninger. We're Texas Radio, presented by David Gardner's Jewelers. You got to write a book one day.
I've had a, you know what? Here's the deal.
What a cool life you've lived.
It's really not, but here's the deal. When you don't get married until you're 42, like I did, I think what happens is a lot of people get married early and then they settle into the, I don't want to say boring, but the traditional married family man lifestyle. Well, I wasn't married till I was 42, so I had extra time for dereliction.
And you took full advantage.
And I took full advantage.
Ryan Broninger and Olin Buchanan here, the Go Hour presented by Maroon U at the Warehouse at CC Creations. We're inside the Rollo Insurance Studios, and we're presented by David Gardner's Jewelers. If you want to interact with the show, 979-693-1150 on the A&B text line, the Amarillo National Bank text line. Let's go over there to Kennedy Cavan. Believe we've got some responses to our topic that started the show with Miss Rev.
Oh, yes. I think a lot of people are just as fired up as Olin about that. So we have somebody who I think is a professor in College Station. He said, look, I'm a believer first, a member of the Fightin' Texas Aggie class of 99 second, and a professor third. When Miss Rev has barked in my class, it's an immediate gig'em and see ya. Adam in College Station.
Adam, I don't know what you're taking, but when I decide to go to college, I'm taking your class.
You're going to college.
Well, you know, I've always thought that
you'd be just like Quinn. Y'all could be roommates.
Yeah, it could be like that movie. I mean, no, but I don't want to go to LSU. But it could be like, what's that movie?
Back to School. You can get in.
Me, yeah, you're probably right. I guarantee I probably couldn't get an A&M. No, I'm not that smart. But I want to go where I want to be in his class.
Okay. Any more,
Adam?
Oh, yes. We have a lot of people just saying that they agree with Olin. We had somebody use a choice word of stupidity, call him out on his stupidity.
Oh, I didn't know
where they're calling me stupider.
No.
Is that you, Irma?
No, they're calling the professor that.
Well, that's hard.
Yeah.
How about
uneducated? He made a bad decision. How about uneducated? We don't know the guy. He made a bad decision in the moment.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's
made a
from
bad
us.
Decision with unraveling. Maybe a bad decision on that hairstyle. But we can forgive it.
I'm just saying, I mean, I'm not in any class to talk to anybody about hairstyle.
Well, you got to have hair to have a hairstyle, yeah.
What would he say about your hairstyle?
Probably that I made a bad decision. Okay.
Hey, is this something you and David traditionally do on Fridays? Three things you want to see?
Yeah, but here's the deal. And David always puts way more into
this. This was on the show prep sheet that I got. I was asking.
David always puts more into this than I do because he always has some different things. And having watched this basketball team, it's really, there's three things every game. Look, play strong defense, especially play strong defense. Get, when I say that, okay. Number one, limit your opponent's three pointers. When opponents have hit 10 or more, in five of A&M's losses, opponents have hit 10 or more three-pointers in five of their six losses. Auburn hit three. You owned them.
You won the
right?
game, yep.
Limit offensive rebounds. Teams have beaten A&M. They've typically scored a lot of second-chance points. Auburn had six second-chance points.
I wonder if there's a correlation to that in Henry Coleman foul trouble. I don't know. I'm asking.
I don't know. I don't think that's necessarily linked.
Well, yeah, because I think he's been more in foul trouble lately, and they've won 8 of 9.
Yeah. Get to the line. A&M does a lot of their damage by, you know, Buzz always says that he wants A&M to get to the line first, you know, to get to the bonus first. And then, you know, this has turned into such a good free throw shooting team. They do a lot. You know, they were 20 of 24 at the line against
it's kind of turned into the 2020 A&M football team offense. Just grind you out. This is what we do. We're going to – this is our method. It's slow moving. It may slow the game down. We don't care. This is the way we do it. This is the way we win games. It's methodical.
Right.
Kind of – it. You want another sport example? Aggie baseball team at the plate last year.
Oh, yeah. People
we foul off, crazy. Foul off, foul. We take our time between pitches. You don't like it. This is our process. This is
on
the way
we do it. On the defensive end, A&M is – they're going to put that pillow over your face and just smother you. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they do. They're a boa constrictor. They wrap around you and they choke the life out of you.
Yeah. You should do National Geographic stuff.
Yeah, I'm Marlon Perkins of my day. Who? Mutual of Omaha? Okay, it's for your time. But, and so just continue doing that.
You look up Marlon Perkins while
just
you
continue
talk.
To do that. And you know what? I guarantee you, he's an old guy. I guarantee you, his back itched a lot. But he probably got a lion claw to Marlon Perkins to scratch his back.
He looks classy. He's looking at his pictures.
He looks like Albert Einstein.
So he does not look like Albert Einstein.
He's got gray hair.
He's got gray, white hair.
He has that mustache going on.
Okay.
The little Albert Einstein mustache.
So your three things you want to see.
I want to see him limit the three-pointers that Vanderbilt gets. I want to see him limit the second chance points, you know, minimalize the second chance points that Vanderbilt gets. And then on the offensive end, I want to see, you know, attacking the basket and getting, you know, drawing fouls and getting to the free throw line.
If this were
maybe attacking the basket, I'm putting all that as one because it leads to the fouls and leads to the free throws.
If this were a school exercise and we had to come up with our three things we want to see and we turned in our paper the next day, I think I'd be handing in my paper to the teacher and said I misunderstood the assignment.
Okay.
Because everybody else is – you gave me three specific –
No, there's no wrong answer.
But I didn't know – I wasn't sure if David was looking at three things we want to see from the basketball game or could it be anything.
Okay. Well, let's
so,
what do you got?
So, number one, I went Pac Reed Arena.
Okay.
I want to see the student body turn out for a multitude of reasons, but I think this basketball team has deserved it. I think Reed Arena for – many of its shortcomings, and it needs to be upgraded, and we've talked about that on TexAgs, and I know that y'all have talked about this on the radio show. I think when you put a lot of people in there, and especially a lot of Aggies, it gets pretty rowdy, and it's a pretty good venue.
I want to see Reveille there.
That would be something.
Yeah.
They don't have like a first pitch or a coin toss at basketball games because she'd like the honorary. I bet if you threw the ball up, she'd hit it with her nose.
I would like for her to bite somebody at Vanderbilt, but she doesn't bite.
Oh. See, you've gone over the line.
When I was, you know,
all
what
she did was bark one time. Now you're turning into her.
What, a Cujo? When I was covering A&M for the Eagle at the basketball games at G. Raleigh. That's how old I am. Reveille made every game. Okay, what else do you want to see?
I wanted to see some recruiting momentum off this junior day.
Okay,
I think. From my day-to-day line of work, you know, I'm typically not the radio host. Right. I don't know if you knew that.
You do a great job, though.
My day-to-day line of work, I think they need some recruiting momentum in the class of 24. I like what they've got committed already. They got three commitments.
Mm-hmm.
We're going into this recruiting weekend not expecting any commitments, but they need to make significant strides. They've got some of the best players in the state of Texas coming in. Micah Hudson from Lake Belton, Draylen Miller from Silsbee, Kobe Black from Wake O'Connelly. These are three that you would want to have in every class.
Bring them to the game.
Get as many of them as to Reed Arena. Let them see the 12th man in action.
Yeah, and you that now multiply this by 10.
Right. Right. And that's what I said on yesterday's show. Let the basketball atmosphere influence football because I know a lot of the other sports on campus, what do they like to center their recruiting weekends around?
Around football games.
Home football games. You could do the inverse of that,
you know,
this weekend.
I think winning begets winning.
Sure. Sure. I think, yeah, rising tide raises all ships,
all
right?
All ships, right.
Last thing I want to see, and I'm going to see it today, I want to watch a Jim Schlossnagel practice, a real one, for the first time as we get ready for baseball season, which is just now 21 days away from opening day. Most polls have A&M preseason top 10. The D1 baseball poll has A&M preseason top 5. I love watching really good coaches run practices. And I think as a coach myself or a wannabe coach myself, I highly value how a coach runs his practice, the efficiency, the intent, the buy-in from players, the creativity, the willingness to work on those fine details and be a stickler for it. How Jim Schlossnagel runs practices is as good as any coach in any sport I've ever seen. I'm more adept at analyzing baseball practices because I've been in a bunch of them and I've organized a bunch of them. But when you go watch an A&M baseball practice, even if you don't know one thing about baseball, you come away and say, those kids got a ton of, they got a ton of stuff done in a relatively short amount of time. I'm talking about 90 minutes to 2 hours. But they get so much done in that time, from little small things, starting with glove drills that they do every day, to big picture batting practice, how we execute bunt defenses, double cuts. I love watching all of it. And I'm a nerd in that way. My brain fires most of the time in baseball terms, even though I cover football and now I'm having to talk about basketball. My brain constantly fires on baseball things. And getting able to watch other coaches perform practice at a really high level is something that I love to do. So what I want to see is another Jim Schlossnagel baseball practice as we get ready for what a lot of folks are anticipating to be a very fun baseball season.
I admire Jim Schlossnagel, and I'm, you know, I've made it known before that I'm not a baseball guy. I really don't even pay attention to it on the major league level.
Can I ask you one thing?
Yeah.
Did last year's baseball team and season change that for you?
It changed it. I'm only really interested. I would watch a college game before I would watch a major league game, mm-hmm. but I'm interested in every A&M game. I took my wife on vacation last year. I can't remember if it was April, and we were in Savannah, Georgia.
Did they have any pine trees or anything you could scratch your back on?
I had Irma there, so didn't need them. But anyway, my point is, I was sitting there on vacation and kept checking my phone to see how A&M was doing. And they were actually playing Georgia at that time. Uh-huh. So I was keeping up with how they were doing. And I never did that before.
Mm-hmm. And I think I actually crowdsourced a question earlier in the fall on the message board. And I said, look, just because we can see it all in our numbers for baseball, how many people are interested, the views we get, the interactions we get, all that kind of stuff went through the roof during last spring. But I just kind of wanted to get a better grasp of what that last year's baseball team did to the fan base. So I said, where were you at in terms of your fandom and interest in Aggie baseball before last baseball season, and where are you at now? I would say the most popular answer amongst that thread, I think it had over 250 responses, was I was at a 3, I'm at an 8, or I was at a 4, now I'm at a 9. So in 1 year, Coach Schlossnagel has generated some real momentum with the program amongst the fan base.
For me, it was in one game.
Which one?
They're down 9-0, I think it was. South Carolina came back and win. And I'm like, I dig these guys, man. Yeah. I'm loving this.
There's going to be a huge – and we can get to this in the 9 o'clock hour. I do want to talk some Aggie baseball. But there's some big challenges in recreating that kind of team culture, even though you've got so many guys back. When we come back, we'll do Bank on It. We'll close the 8 o'clock hour with OB, a little bit from Kennedy and your text. You're listening to Tex Aggs Radio, presented by David Gardner's Jewelers.
Robin's
Doggone Cowboy.
Doggone Cowboy. Knicks. Let me tell you something.
Doggone. Okay.
Let me tell you something about Nick Savage that I didn't know until yesterday. I got up here early. I get up here when I host a show. I get up here about 7 and start prepping and stuff like that, getting the show, just kind of get some ideas down. And Nick's back there working. He shows up super early and he's getting graphics ready. I did not know this about Nick Savage. He's listening to some music as he's working. He is an old, old soul. I mean, he had some good old country going back there, and I was not about to interrupt it.
That's probably why I used my back scratcher earlier.
Yeah. Nick, this is not good, dude.
I guess I have some old man skin on my back, too, is what you're saying.
No, I just think you might be aging faster than the number says by, you know, your birth certificate or whatever.
That's fine. I don't care.
Kennedy, do you have any more texts? Has everybody calmed down on the Reveille stuff, or are we still pretty fired up?
I think everybody's calmed down on that front so far. But we have very little coming in about baseball, so I think we kind of want to amp that up. But hey,
Sorry, Bronny. There is a message on the YouTube stream that I think I'm interested to hear your perspective. Inconvenient Pothole says, can we hear who Bronny thinks will be our three weekend starters and maybe even who will end up the Tuesday starter.
Well, table that. We're going to get to baseball in the 9 o'clock hour with Olin and I for the first 30 minutes. And maybe even Nick, if you want to talk, because I think me and you are going to maybe have a segment to kill later on. So we may talk some baseball in that. So we'll get to all that. I do have some thoughts as Aggie baseball kicks off day one of practice, but we got to go to bank on it. Presented by Vera Bank, authentic relationship-based banking built for real life. Go see Joel Jackson and the team. Learn more at verabank.com. Olin, what are you banking on?
You know, I'm banking on this basketball team to win again. And I'm banking on, you know, hey, I wrote it. If you're looking to march, need some excellent boots.
Wow.
So I'm looking for.
I'm telling you what,
Boots Radford.
Your brain is firing on all cylinders today.
Well, I wrote that the other day, but
oh, did you?
But
why wouldn't you just say take the compliment?
Well, thank you. I like to think my brain is firing all cylinders all the time. Yeah. Maybe the older I get and the more my back itches, it doesn't. But I like to think so.
I'm going to bank. I'm going to use bank on it as a bold prediction.
But all right,
bank on Henry Coleman.
Henry Coleman.
15-8 tonight.
Tomorrow.
15-8 tomorrow.
Henry Coleman's a good basketball
player. I think, like I said yesterday, I think there's a game or a run of form coming.
He's due to just break out.
Yeah, I think so. On the other side of the break, a lot more with Olin Buchanan and myself, Ryan Bonjour. You're listening to Texas Ags Radio. We're presented by David Gardner's Jewelers.